Open your Bibles tonight to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. And look, if you would, starting at verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor."
Where are you reading?
Luke chapter 4. Are you at Luke chapter 4? Luke chapter 4. I was right. I was the only one in the room that was marching in the right direction. I don't know. Luke chapter 4. Look at verse 16. Okay. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. And he came to Nazareth. Are we all right now? And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for the read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Now, hold your place here and turn over to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. In Isaiah chapter 61, we're going to read the exact place where Jesus read the book of Isaiah. And you're going to notice something a little different about it. In Isaiah chapter 61, notice if you would, starting at verse 1. And this is what Jesus read. Now remember, Jesus was there in the synagogue. He opens up the book of Isaiah, starts to read. And he reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, and hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Stop. That's where he stopped, right there. How many of you see that? Now, see that comma after the word Lord? Do you realize that comma represents about 2,000 years? You say, why? Because up until that comma, everything is the first advent. But after that, it says, "And the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn." When is the day of vengeance of our God? When he comes back the second time. Okay? So what the Lord does here in that synagogue, he reads up until, he's reading the book of Isaiah, and what he does, he reads up to that comma there where it says, "To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord," comma, and you know what he does? He takes the book of Isaiah, and he sets it down, and he says, and he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Why? because he didn't read the whole verse. He stopped right there at that comma. He set the book down and he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. He was saying that I am the one that came right here the first time, and I'm the one who did all these things. And so today it's fulfilled in your ears. Now, had they accepted Christ as their Messiah, then the rest of that could have been read. But Jesus knew they weren't going to receive him as their Messiah, and so he sets it down right there and stops reading. Okay? And so that's what I want you to see tonight is basically we're going to be looking at the Bible within the Bible, the book of Isaiah. And so that's what we'll be looking at tonight, but before we do, let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for your word, and Lord, help us to just look at your word tonight and just see how perfect it is. And Lord, we're thankful for that. We're thankful, Lord, that we don't have to defend the word of God. It does a very good job of doing it itself. And Lord, I just pray that we'll be open to what the word of God says tonight, Lord. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I will tell you tonight, it's going to be a little bit deeper than normal on our subject tonight. We are going to be looking at the subject of the Bible within the Bible, and that is the subject of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah is known as the Bible within the Bible. Now, the book of Isaiah, if you look back at Luke chapter 4, the book of Isaiah, like I said, is the book that Jesus was reading from here in Luke chapter 4. And he was reading in Isaiah, he was actually quoting Isaiah chapter 61. And there are some things in the book of Isaiah that Jesus reveals here, or things about the book of Isaiah that Jesus reveals here in Luke chapter 4, that I want you to notice before we start getting into the Bible within the Bible. For starters, one of the things that Jesus shows us here, or the scripture shows us here, is notice here that the word Isaiah is spelt with an E. You see, if you'll look there, it says that he was reading the book of Isaiah there in verse 17. It's spelt with an E. But over in the Old Testament, the name Isaiah is spelt with an I. Okay, now you'll also see this in the word Emmanuel. It's the same way. It's spelt different in the New Testament, the Old Testament. And the reason why it's spelt different, honestly, if you really want the honest answer why it's spelt differently, is because your King James translators were honest. Okay, even though they are the same word, one was translated from Hebrew to English. That would be the one that starts with an I. The word that was translated from Greek to English is the word starting with an E. And so they were being honest, because when you translate from Hebrew to English, one is an I, and you translate from Greek to English, one is an E. Now, they could have very well said Isaiah and spelt both of them with an I. Could have done that. But that wouldn't have been honest to do that, because they were taking a Greek manuscript and a Hebrew manuscript and transferring it into English. Notice something else here in Luke chapter 4 about Isaiah. Notice that Isaiah was called a book in verse 17. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. That means when Isaiah was written, it was in book form. And Lord, here in Luke chapter 4, after reading the book of Isaiah, when he was reading from the book of Isaiah, he was specifically reading from chapter 61. Something else about the book of Isaiah. Notice that the Lord calls the book of Isaiah scripture. He calls it scripture. You say, well, why is that so important? Well, in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says this. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You say, what does that mean? If it's scripture, then it's given by inspiration of God, and those are actually God's words. Amen? So whenever you see something called scripture, it is important that it's called scripture, because all scripture is given by inspiration. Listen, the writers wrote things, but they were writing the words that God gave them to write. Okay? And so even though you have the writers of the Bible who penned things, it was God who gave those scriptures by inspiration. Okay? So when the Lord declared the book of Isaiah to be scripture, that means that the book of Isaiah was given by inspiration of God. Something else. Notice also that Jesus confirms here who the author of the book of Isaiah is. In verse 17, it says, "And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah." So we know that Isaiah himself penned the book of Isaiah. Here are some other things about the book of Isaiah, or the Bible within the Bible. The book of Isaiah is the largest book in the Bible to have chapters. It's the largest book in the Bible to have chapters. You say, well, wait a second. I read my Bible through last year, and I know for a fact that Psalms, the book of Psalms, is larger than the book of Isaiah. Yes, it is. But Psalms don't have chapters. When you look at the book of Psalms, it's a book that has, those Psalms are actually songs that were sung. And you'll notice that when you read your book of Psalms, it's not called Psalm chapter 1 or Psalm chapter 2 or Psalm chapter 3. It's called Psalm 1, Psalm 2, Psalm 3. So what it is, it's the number of the songs there. There are no chapters in the book of Psalms. In fact, you'll hear nobody say the 23rd chapter of Psalms. What do they say? The 23rd Psalm. Why? It's the number of songs. So when it comes to the book that has the most chapters, that's the book of Isaiah. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, it's just a tidbit of information to help you along. Amen? make you feel like you're smarter. So I don't know. But, you know, if you want to impress somebody and tell them that, there it is. but that is something that you need to know, that that the book of Isaiah is the largest book to have chapters. Okay? Also, the number of chapters in the book of Isaiah is 66. 66 chapters. And that matches the number of the Bible, of the books of the Bible, which are 66 books. Okay? And that's one of the reasons why we call it the Bible within the Bible. Isaiah has 66 books. Bible or 66 chapters. The Bible has 66 books. Now, that's just a little bit of background on Isaiah and why we call it the Bible within the Bible. Now, the question I get asked, in fact, I think I was asked this quite a while back, is, and this is the question that a lot of people are interested in. A lot of people have this question, and it's a very good question. But the question is how do we know that the 66 books of the Bible are the only books that are supposed to be there? I mean, there are a lot of people that ask about that. They say, you know, there's a lot of other books out there. You know, they discovered this book over here in some cave, or they discovered this over there. And how do we know that these books are not supposed to? I mean, how do we know if they're supposed to be there or not? Maybe there's supposed to be 85 books in the Bible. Why do we, I mean, how do we know there's only supposed to be 66? I mean, after all, if you read your Bible, you'll notice that there are a lot of books mentioned in your Bible, but that are not included in your Bible. I'll give you a couple of them, or a few of them. You'll hear the book of Jasher mentioned in Joshua chapter 10, verse 13, and 2 Samuel 1:18, the book of Jasher. You'll see the book of Wars are mentioned in Numbers chapter 21:14. You have the book of the Acts of Solomon, found in 1 Kings 11:41. You have the book of Nathan the prophet and the book of Gad, both found in 1 Chronicles 29:29. You also have the prophecy of Ahijah the Shilonite and the visions of Edo the seer. All these are mentioned in the Bible, but you don't have the visions of Edo the seer in your Bible. Now, do you? You know, that's something we don't have, but yet the Bible mentions them. Now, the common thinking here, or the way people think, is if the Bible mentions them, then they must be part of Scripture. But your Bible never says that. And I will tell you this, that Jesus never quoted from them, okay? Now, you say, well, that's not proof enough that they don't deserve to be in the Bible. How many of you understand tonight that there are books out there that are good historical books, but they're not Scripture? In other words, they're very good historically. Hey, listen, I can go get a book right now on, say, World War II that could be absolutely right in everything it says historically. But does that mean it's God's words? No. And so just because the Bible mentions a book that's not mentioned in your Bible, that it could very well mean that they're good historically. How many of you know what the book, have you ever heard of the book of the Maccabees? Okay. That is a part of the Bible that's not part of your Bible. Now, I will tell you that the Catholic Church includes that book with the rest of the Bible and some other books. But the Book of Maccabees is a very good historical book, but that doesn't mean it's Scripture. And I have no doubts that these other books are very good historical books. I mean, after all, the Bible mentions them and says, were these acts not found in this book or that book or this book? So obviously the Bible, when it mentions them, at least we know some of those books are very historically accurate, okay? But do they belong in our Bible? And how do we know these books don't belong in our Bible or they do belong in our Bible? Well, in the New Testament, we're specifically given the books that belong to the Old Testament. And the verses that give us the information were used when they decided to put the canon of Scripture together. And when they looked at these scriptures, they used these scriptures to help decide which books did and did not belong in the Bible. Now turn, if you would, over to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Now, some other side information for you, just as a side note. There are those who claim that we got our Bible from the Catholic Church today. There are a lot of people that will claim that. But I'm telling you, if you have a King James Bible tonight, then that claim is false. Okay? It did not come from the Catholic Bible. However, there are some Bibles on the market today. In fact, all the other Bibles on the market today did come from the Catholic Church and Catholic Bible. But the Jewish Bible, or the Old Testament, is known as the Torah. How many of you ever heard of that? Okay. And the Torah has exactly the same books as we do in our King James Bible, but they are in a different order. Okay. In other words, when you look at a Torah today, it starts off at Genesis, but if you look in your King James Bible right now, we go from Genesis to Malachi. Okay. So we go all the way through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then you have these books, then you have the 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings, then you have, Job, Psalm, Proverbs, Ruth, all that stuff, and you go through the minor prophets and you end up at Malachi. That's how our Bible is put together. But in the Torah, in the Jewish Bible, they have the same exact books as we do, but they have them in a different order. The Torah begins with Genesis and ends with 2nd Chronicles. Okay? So, if you looked at a Hebrew Bible today, and you say, why is this? I'll show you. You say, why is this important? I'll show you here in just a minute. Verse starts off at Genesis, and it has all the 39 books of the Old Testament, but theirs goes from Genesis to 2 Chronicles. That's how they have it, and they have been scribes for years and years that have transcribed over and over and over. Even during the time of Jesus, you had scribes. Their job was to transcribe the Word of God over and over and over to make sure it was perfect. Okay, so in a Jewish Bible, you have the first five books that starts at Genesis, known as the Pentateuch or the Law of Moses. You say, why is it called that? Because Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy were all written by Moses, right? And so therefore it's called the Law of Moses, mainly because you have Leviticus and Deuteronomy there. And that is the first reading and the second reading of the law, okay? So that's called the Law of Moses, all right? Then you have the book of the prophets, both major and minor, talking about the Hebrew Bible. Then you have the books of poetry, such as Job and Psalms and Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, those. And then finally, the Torah ends with the books such as Joshua, Judges, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles. Okay? Now, you say, why is this important? Well, look here in Luke chapter 24, and I'll show you something. Luke chapter 24, I want to show you one of the two passages of Scripture that tell you exactly the books that are to be in your Bible. Okay? And Luke chapter 24, verse 44. And this is Jesus speaking. You know, the one thing I'll tell you about your Bible answers a lot of questions if you'll just look and you'll see. Because Jesus settles the issue on a lot of things. Luke 24, 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in The law of Moses, stop right there. What is the law of Moses? That's your first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. They were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms. Now he just mentioned the first five books of the Bible, He mentions the Psalms and he mentions the prophets. So does it make sense to you that Psalms is supposed to be inside your Bible? Jesus said it was. How about Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy? Is it supposed to be there? Law of Moses, he said it right there. So now we know that they're supposed to be there. And then you have the prophets. Well, that pretty much takes care of almost everything. Amen? All right? Now, turn if you would over to Matthew chapter 23. And Jesus tells a little bit more over it, Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. And look if you would at verse 35. Matthew chapter 23. Back up to verse 34. Wherefore, behold, I send unto you the prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city. Now look what he says in verse 35. That upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel. What book is that in? Genesis. Unto the blood of Zechariah, son of Barachias. Now listen, that's not Zechariah, the writer of Zechariah, the book of Zechariah. When you read about Zechariah, the son of Barachias, you'll read about him over in 2 Chronicles chapter 24. That's where that Zechariah was killed, in 2 Chronicles chapter 24. So what did he just tell you there? That your Old Testament goes from what? Abel to Zechariah of Barachias here in 2 Chronicles. He just told you what your Old Testament's supposed to have in it. Amen? Now remember, when Jesus spoke these things, all you had was a Jewish Old Testament. And you know what they had? They had it from Genesis to 2 Chronicles, the way they've always had it. Okay? So right there, Jesus tells you basically what you're supposed to have in your Old Testament. And that is, you're supposed to have the law of Moses, you're supposed to have the Psalms, you're supposed to have everything between all the prophets, both major and minor, you're supposed to have everything between Genesis and 2 Chronicles. That means, basically, that what you have, and our Bible is exactly the same as theirs, just in different order, you know what that means? That means that your King James Bible right now has the right Old Testament in it. It has the right books of the Old Testament, okay? Now, you say, why are they in a different order than your King James Bible? Well, that's for another night of teaching. I have an idea on that, but I'm just not going to take the time to teach on that tonight. But I think that there is a good reason behind that. Okay, but they are the same 39 books, and Jesus declared them to be Scripture over in Luke chapter 24. So we know that we have the right exact books and the exact number of books that we're supposed to have in the Old Testament. So that means that the book of Jasher, the book of Wars, the book of Acts of Solomon, the book of Nathan the prophet, the book of Gad, and all those, yes, they are mentioned in your Bible, and they're mentioned in the Old Testament, and no doubt they are good historical books. But if you ask me right now, are we to have those included in the canon of Scripture, I would say absolutely not. Why? Because Jesus already told you what belongs there. You see? Okay, so we know that 39 of those books were right. Amen. Okay? But they're not Scripture. Those other ones there, they're not Scripture. And so, if they're not Scripture, then they were not given by inspiration of God. And if they're not given by inspiration of God, then they're not God's words, though they may be historically accurate. How many of you understand where we're at right now? Okay? Proverbs is all in there too, because you have the all the books of poetry, all that's included in Solomon. Okay? And so all of that is there. So we know that 39 books of the Bible are right. We know that they're in the right, that that because Jesus told you everything from there. Now think about this. There are multiple times where Jesus would refer to things written in Psalms, Proverbs, Song of Solomon, Isaiah a lot. In fact, he probably quotes from Isaiah more than any other book. Okay, Jeremiah, all these different things. And every time he quotes from one of those books, every time Jesus quotes from them, what does that tell you? That they belong there. Okay? And so all the way through here, he tells you the books that belong there. So we know that the Old Testament, as far as the 39 books, are correct. Okay? But how do we know that the 27 books of the New Testament are correct? How do we know that we're not supposed to have other books that could be added to Scripture, like the Epistle of Thomas? You know, that's one that people say, well, it should be included because, after all, I mean, he's one of the disciples and it should be included. Well, just because he's one of the disciples doesn't mean anything. It's what God gave by inspiration or is not. And again, even though the Epistle of Thomas may be, though I haven't read it and I don't know a whole lot about it, but maybe it is historically correct. I don't know. But does it belong in the 27 books of the New Testament? You say, well, how do we know? How do we know that we have the right number of books and whether or not we can add anything to it? Okay. Well, that's how the way we find this answer is we have to go to our Bible within the Bible. And I lost my pen. We have to go to the Bible within the Bible to find, oh, there it is, to find the answer. So we know that 39 of the books are right. Now we have to worry about the 27, right? Now, if we go to do the Bible within the Bible, then we have to go to a book that has 66 books in the Bible, right? 66 books in the Bible. How many chapters does Isaiah have? 66. So if Isaiah is the book within the Bible within the Bible, and Isaiah has 66 chapters in it, and it's the Bible within the Bible, we know it. Let's say if each one of those chapters represents a book of the Bible, okay, in other words, 66 books of the Bible, 66 chapters. Well, if we know that 39 of them are right, which is the Old Testament, then basically if Isaiah really is the Bible within the Bible, then the other 27 would have to be correct because that's what adds up to 66, right? But we're not going to stop there. We're not going to stop there because it goes deeper than that. Okay, so we're going to look at our Bible within the Bible. Isaiah, 66 books in the Bible. There are 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah. Now, keeping that in mind, I want you to turn to the first chapter of the Bible within the Bible, the first chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. So Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2. Here's what it says. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. For the Lord has spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. So now here, right here in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2, it's talking about the heavens and the earth. Is that what it's talking about? All right. Turn in your Bible to the first book of the Bible and look at the second chapter. And look at verse 1. Genesis, the first book of the Bible, chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. Do you see the same subject there? Heavens and earth, right? Now that's chapter 1 of the Bible within the Bible, first book of the Bible, second chapter of your Bible. Okay, you say, well, that's pretty neat. Yeah, it is. You know, how many of you understand that when God inspired His Word, it's absolutely perfect, and He put words where He wanted to, exactly where He wanted to in that Bible, and He put them there for a reason. He don't want you to have any doubt about the Bible that you have. All right, now turn if you would over to the. How many of you know what the 40th book of the Bible is? If 39 is your Old Testament, then it'd be Matthew, right? The 40th book of your Bible is Matthew, right? All right. Turn, if you would, to the 40th chapter of Isaiah. And then when you get to the 40th chapter of Isaiah, look at the third, at the 40th chapter of Isaiah, look at the third verse. Now read that. Somebody read that for me.
The voice of him that cried in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert the highway of the Lord.
Very good. Now turn over to the 40th book in your Bible. Which be Matthew, the 40th book of your Bible. And because we looked at the third verse of the 40th chapter in Isaiah, then look, if you would, at verse 3 of chapter 3. We're going to look at chapter 3, or I'm sorry, the third chapter, Matthew chapter 3, the 40th book of the Bible. The third chapter, and look at verse 3. What does it say? Somebody read it.
For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.
You see, do you see something pretty similar there? You have the 40th chapter here, verse 3. You have the 40th book here, chapter 3. What does it say? Same exact thing. You think that he's trying to tell you something? You have the Bible within the Bible. It's telling you what is in your Bible, what's not in your Bible. It's right there. You say, well, that's really neat. Still not convinced. Okay, then turn, if you would, over to Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66. And look at verse 22. Somebody read it. Isaiah 66:22.
Whereas the new heavens and the new earth which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord. So shall it go to you and remain with
me. All right, now turn over to your 66th book of the Bible. Which book is that? Revelation. When you get to Revelation, I want you to look at chapter 21. And then we're going to look at chapter 22 as well. Revelation, your 66th book. Isaiah, or Revelation chapter 22. Look at Revelation chapter 21. Look, if you would, at the very first verse there. And what does it say? And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now in chapter 21, it describes to you the new heaven and the new earth. It continues to describe the new heaven, new earth, and new Jerusalem in chapter 22. So in your 66th book, you know what you just saw? You saw your Bible within the Bible that has the 66 chapters in it tell you about the beginning of the Bible. It tells you at the beginning of the New Testament. And it tells you about the very last of your Bible. How many of you see that? You know what that's telling you? That's telling you that by your Bible that's in the Bible within the Bible, it's telling you that with those 66 chapters right there, when it showed you those three things, it's telling you that your New Testament is correct too. How many of you see it? What he's telling you, what the Lord is trying to tell you is this. The Bible you have is perfect. Yeah. It's perfect. And not only do you, when we read, we know that the Word of God is perfect. And it's absolutely inerrant. We all believe that. But, you know, for those people that say, well, I think that this book should be included in there, and that book should be included in there. Well, the problem is if you start throwing in books in the New Testament, then this right here, that number right there, 40 and 66, are no longer relevant. Why? Because you've got an extra book thrown in there. Hey, if you throw one book in there, that makes right there 67. You don't even have that in the book of Isaiah. And those verses wouldn't match. So all the way through there, what it's telling you is this. Your Bible is absolutely perfect, and the number of books that you have is absolutely perfect as well.